Welcome to Bimmercast number 27. It is August 8th, hard to believe, 2010. We're going to be going over a lot. We've had our summer break for the past few weeks, so we're going to dive right back into it, starting with talking about the M3 at Lime Rock, going all the way to BMW Motorsports involvement in Mini's WRC program. Of course, we're going to be talking about the 1M, which we've seen some new specs on, and talking about the ring times and maybe why they don't matter that much. So stay tuned. Okay, I can officially say we are back. It has been a little while, but Michael, good to be back. Good to have you back.
Yeah, great to be here, Gabe. Looking forward to talking about all this great stuff that's happened in the world of BMW.
Yeah, so we're back from our summer vacation, if you will. And I think, you know, this kind of mirrors what you see in the automotive industry. It's always quiet right about now. And everybody's gearing up for auto season starting really this year. It's going to be starting, of course, in Paris in September. And there's a lot of rumors around what we're going to see there. Will we see an M5? Will we see some form of concept around the 1M? Will we see a surprise concept? It's kind of all up for grabs right now.
Yeah, it really is. I think the only thing we might see officially is the X3 in the flesh at that, but we'll see.
That's true. Very, very true. Well, you know, we've got so much to dive into, so let's just do it. And we're gonna go back a little bit here and talk about some news that we're sort of officially catching up on the podcast. One of the things I wanted to start with, and I know it's maybe not technically BMW focused, but Mini is going WRC racing, and it is cool if you're a BMW fan and you don't really care about Minis, because at the heart of this engine, at the heart of this car, will of course be an engine. And while ProDrive, the famous rally team, is building the Countryman, Mini Countryman WRC car, it's BMW Motorsport that's building the 1.6 liter turbocharged engine. And that, I think, is pretty interesting. This is, of course, BMW Motorsport. They've been responsible for everything from the F1 engines to the V8s, the wonderful sounding V8s in the M3 GT2 cars. You know, essentially everything, you know, everything that comes out of a BMW as a factory racer. And this is the first time that they've built an engine this small, four cylinder, this small, I think, that I can remember ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've built anything that small. That's a good point. I didn't really think of it that way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, I mean, obviously as we need more efficiency in our cars, we're going to be getting a lot of smaller engines, and you're going to start to see, you know, perhaps racing programs going to smaller engines. I think this is really as small as it gets, but I'm excited about it. You're going to have a ProDrive chassis powered by a BMW engineered power plant. So yes, it's a Mini, and nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, at the heart of it is going to be really Munich's best at work.
Yeah, I'd like to see what they're going to use that in also, because there's some rumors of some other series like the World Touring Car Championship getting a little smaller with their displacement, and, you know, BMW's entry into DTM, and mm-hmm. see what that's about.
Well,
as well,
the rumor is that BMW is going to be axing one of their racing programs, and I think it's some form of GT racing or the WTCC or the car championships. Yeah, WTCC. I always lose a T.
NASCAR Europe, basically.
I got to tell you, I love that. Love the WTCC. It is such a fun race to watch every time. You're right. It is like NASCAR done right. But the problem with that series for BMW is it's increasingly going after the volume car makers like Chevrolet, like Hyundai, like, you know, just front wheel drive hatchbacks or small four doors. And while BMW has had a great run in touring car and has dominated some years, you know, it's very clear that they're racing against a lower market vehicle, and maybe not the best place as that evolves for BMW. And of course, DTM, with the rejiggering, if you will, of the DTM rules, it's suddenly gotten to be a little bit cheaper place to race cars.
Yeah, with all the aero, because it's necessary.
Yeah, well, and I think that they're going to go to, you know, a little bit more of a formula, or a little bit more of an affordable formula next year, or I think the year after even. And of course, that is why BMW has signed up for that. So anyway, Mini and WRC look for something mid-year next year as far as a debut, and they'll be racing in 2012 full-time. So lots of cool things. The other rumor with WRC is that you're going to see potentially Saab show up in the WRC. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I mean, it's like that. All they need now is Porsche, and it's the 1960s.
Wow, Saab, no kidding.
Yeah, but of course, yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's certainly early days on that rumor.
Could be a BMW-built Saab.
Well, that is the rumor, actually, that Saab is currently negotiating with BMW to buy the Mini, or the next generation Mini and BMW front-wheel drive chassis to underpin the next generation 9.2. So interesting. Lots of developments that may come about. Saab, of course, is an independent automaker, so they're going to have to be scrappy. BMW is an independent automaker of much greater size and a success. So again, a lot of fun things happening there. Kind of watch that space. So moving on, what do you think of the performance at Lime Rock for the Ray Hall Letterman M3 team?
Having been there myself and witnessed it in person, I was thoroughly blown away, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
As always, BMW North America and Ray Hall Letterman Racing were very accommodating to us and allowed us to take some nice shots from the pits and things like that. And it was just, it was a great, great day. Qualifying, it was, what can you say besides the skies opened up, it poured, and they were literally driving in a river, and that's where they qualified so poorly. I think 9th and 13th,
yeah,
they qualified. And I mean, throughout the race, they just made their way up through the pack and ended up finishing second, third, which is nothing more than, it's nothing less than a miracle, to be honest with you, especially on that track, because it's not usually so accommodating to that much passing.
Mm-hmm. That was a great race. No,
it was a great race, and it, it introed the new aero package, air quotes.
And I couldn't see a difference. Am I crazy? Is it that subtle?
No, it's the front. The front is definitely significantly different in the fact that there's adjustable like wings in the front, and in the back, I'm really disappointed, to be honest with you, in the look from the back. The back really just looks like an M Sport kit. Nothing more going, it really does. But one of the benefits of that kit in the back is that, as people saw on television, BMW was able to take shots, or Speed TV was able to take shots from the rear, and that aero kit is the reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So you can take backwards. But the cars ran awesome, the tires performed well, and it was a great weekend for BMW.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I saw that. I saw the numbers they threw up in qualifying, and I just couldn't believe it. And of course, I didn't have the whole story until a few hours later. I'm so happy to see that they came second and third. Really, really impressive.
Impressive. And actually, they're racing as we speak, I believe. So
they
we'll
are.
See.
I thought we should be doing a live cast of it, but of course, this is going to go up a few hours later. So
right,
we're actually recording for those with any notion of the day. We're recording a day early before this is actually released on iTunes. So we were also actually talking about on the site the next generation of operating system that BMW is going to be using in car. And BMW, along with Hyundai, strangely, GM and PSA, Citroën, Peugeot, have a consortium called Genevieve, I believe. And they have officially said now that they're going to be using a platform known as MIGO. And for those in the technology industry, you may know that MIGO is Nokia's next generation operating system. It's based on Unix, which is, I should say, based on Linux, which of course is based on Unix.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for a few reasons. I mean, number one, it's an open platform. But I think number two, you're looking at sort of the best of the industry here with ARM, NVIDIA, Intel. What Nokia is doing in there and what they can offer, I have no idea, because you don't really think about the name Nokia and good product in the same sentence, but it is a powerhouse, so to speak, and it's really exciting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, and they've also have new chips coming down the line from a manufacturer in Texas that will go hand in hand with the architecture developed by Harman. And all this stuff developed by different manufacturers is all going to power the car's systems, essentially. Basically, the cars are now computers with wheels.
Well, and the key thing here is that, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean iDrive is going to, I mean, they could implement this and what you see in front of you won't even change. Now, I would suspect it will, but it doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, this is the back-end system that powers what you see. And I think the key thing is that it's getting much more powerful. So it's going to allow BMW to now create that fourth, fifth, sixth generation iDrive that is just, you know, will blow your perceptions away of what an in-car system can be.
Yeah, currently, I mean, the chips and things that they're using are actually more advanced than, say, your iPhone 4.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is there's so many systems talking to each other that it really robs the multitasking ability of the processor. So
that's really interesting, because you think about it, you've got a DSC system, you've got you've got all your acronyms going at once, and you've got everything you can imagine sort of talking to each other, going through a central bus. Meanwhile, I'm trying to rip a CD and I'm looking at my navigation. I mean, that you're right, that is an incredibly powerful processor.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to get more powerful, and they're going to be faster, and they're going to be able to do things that we couldn't even imagine, such as, you know, rendering live Doppler radar across your nav screen. It's coming.
Yeah, that's incredible. By the way, I've been asking for that for 10 years.
Yeah, it's finally going to come.
I'm a Doppler radar fanatic. Anyway.
Yeah, it would be nice to know if there's a big blizzard coming and you could sit and hang out for a half hour and not have to drive through it.
Yeah, true. So moving up the page, the 5 Series, new 5 Series, was awarded the 2010 safety pick from the IIHS. And that means it's got the good rating, which is the highest rating possible. I think no surprise here, BMWs are safe. One thing to note, it is higher than the last 5 Series, but I don't know if it's really, you know, the last 5 Series scored very well in the European tests, but not as well in the U.S. tests. You know, Michael, do you have any knowledge on why that is, or what the difference is?
Sure. The E60 was tested, and the reason it was a side impact test, and it had scored lesser than it would have otherwise done because of seat placement, and it was actually caused by the center console creating a hip injury.
Oh.
And in Europe, the seat position is different, and for 99.9% of the human population, the seat position wouldn't have even ever been in that position. But that's just the way we do things in the U.S. We do things that don't make any sense. So that's the reason with the E60, and with the F10, BMW went all out, and I mean, they're using some crazy high-strength steels and cold rolling things, and it's...
They weren't messing around, basically.
No. And as we reported earlier in the year, before any of this came, this car is going to be one of the safest, if not the safest car on the road.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've often thought that the U.S. should disband our regulations and just use what Europe uses. Because, I mean, if you look at them side by side, the Euro regs are typically more well thought out. Not always, but typically.
Oh, absolutely. Not looking at cars, looking at car seats. In the U.S., mm-hmm. it's pass-fail, and you don't have to do half the crap they do in Europe. And in right. Europe, they test them in cars and side impact and this and that
yeah.
and every other thing, and they actually rate them.
And you can't import a European car seat. You're talking about a child seat, right?
Yeah, for a child.
Not easily, though, right?
Not easily. No, you can do it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I think we may have missed it since we're on the topic of the 5 Series. Carn Driver, and I know you and I have seen this for a while now. We finally put it on the site when it went live online. Carn Driver ranked the 5 Series. I think it was a 535i. They ranked it against the new Audi A6. Not even new, actually, the old Audi A6, the current
the
one.
The about to die Audi
And
A6.
The new Infiniti M37, I believe?
Yes.
And... the BMW, drumroll, came in last. And it seemed to me that it came in last for one huge reason, and that was steering feel.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of interesting to me. Like I said, there's less steering feel, but it's not as boosted as the previous car. And I think that's something that is getting lost in this whole shuffle, is that for some reason, everyone's focusing in on this electric steering and how it sucks. But now if you drive an E60 and you go back and drive that and feel how overboosted the hydraulic system is, the electric system is actually better in some ways. Yeah, mm-hmm. You lose a little bit of road feel, but to be honest with you, 99.9% of the people that are driving this car or buying this car have no interest in road feel. I mean, it's like...
It's really interesting because it somewhat mirrors what happened to the Mini when it went from the R53 to the R56. And I haven't driven the new 5 Series. I'm not the last person in the world that hasn't driven it, so I can't even comment. But what they did with Mini is they boosted it. I'm sorry, they didn't boost it. It actually got a little more weight, but it also lost some feel. And then it lost a lot of feel when you press the sport button. And it maybe was 10% normally, and then you lose about 25% with the sport button on.
Right. But what happened? I think that's what it is.
And what happened was people just, you know, took that 10% that you get in the car, you start driving, you maybe don't have quite the feel you did, and they really blew it out of proportion because it still got great feel. But I think it lost some of the articulation. You know, it didn't feel, you didn't feel the nuances that you once did. And obviously some of that is done because they want to isolate it a little bit more for 99% of the people out there. And it's a shame, of course. But I kind of wonder if that's what we're talking about.
I think it is. And the other thing that gets lost in the shuffle here is tires, okay? The tires on the 5 are not necessarily the best tires for performance. And they actually, I think, isolate the road themselves, not just the steering. So I believe they're Goodyear run flats, and they're designed for comfort, quietness, and overall compliance with the road, rather than, you know, like the Michelin Pilot Sports, for example. If you had Michelin Pilot Sports, you'd get more road feel, you'd have more compliance, but you'd also have some noise. And I think with the 5 Series, they wanted to isolate the noise and kind of isolate the humdrumness of highways and things like that for the customer that's buying this car at large. And where Audi actually swapped their tires on their A6 recently, if people didn't know that, they actually changed manufacturers from, I think they're using Pirelli's last year or the year before, and now they equipped the car with Michelin Pilot Sports. The car now pulls more G's on the skid pad and brakes better, all because they switched tires.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
So, I mean, a lot of this, I think, you know, you add a bunch of things together and you get an answer. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this steering sucks. Is it the steering? Is it the tires? There's so many variables. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it comes back to the, also we're talking about run flats and that gets added into the equation also.
It's really a shame that BMW is always saddled with that problem, with the run flat problem.
Damn run flats, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on. I think we're going to hear more about this, and it'll be interesting to see how the M division, quote unquote, deals with this problem, what they do to the steering, what they do to the tires, and et cetera.
Yeah, and just on one quick note on the 535 also. I have driven it and have driven, obviously, the E60 535, and there is a difference in feel of the cars. The new 535 feels more isolated, feels less quick, because the car is built better. It's stiffer. The chassis itself is better tuned to the driving prowess of the vehicle. In other words, it's designed more for comfort than it is for being sporty. And the added 230 pounds, I believe it is off the top of my head, to the new chassis makes it feel slower than the old car. You know, you got the same horsepower, same torque, but you're adding weight. It's going to feel slower.
That's really interesting. Well, moving on to, I think, something that's a little bit more, I don't know, at least positive, exciting, we can all kind of agree on, that's at least interesting, is the Lord of the Ring, the BMW Nürburgring Times. This is just a post that I threw up there after a conversation with a friend of mine talking about some of the different times, and did some digging and got quite a few of the different times that BMW has posted officially or unofficially around the famed Nürburgring. Interestingly, or not interestingly, depending on what your viewpoint is, it was an E46 that made it to the top and still is there with the M3 CSL.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is when you think about the fact that typically the next generation of the standard M or the standard whatever is always faster than this previous special edition. But that CSL was truly something special. In fact, if you look at the power to weight ratio, it's actually still higher than the E92 M3.
Which is crazy. And I would love to know what the GTS is able to do,
Well,
to be
and I
honest with
think
you.
that's the thing that we don't know. We're all kind of waiting to hear. And to my knowledge, officially it hasn't been tested yet. I've not seen any numbers out there. Most of these numbers, if not all of them, are from Autosport, which is a German magazine that tests the cars fanatically. Same driver, similar conditions, and they try to get the most. What's the word? Obviously, they want to make these numbers meaningful,
Yeah,
and I
kind of
think that's
consistent.
yeah, and I think
Yeah.
that's exactly what we see here. Next up, of course, that X3 LM, which I'm sorry, the X5 LM, which was basically an X5 with the V12 from the LMR
Yeah, the Honda.
prototype. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really it's certainly a prototype vehicle, but it's kind of fun to put it up there. I mean, it matched the CSL's time, which is just amazing to me. And that was a four-wheel drive,
Beast.
incredible vehicle. What can you say about it? I mean, clearly, BMW knows how to make SUVs go fast, and that was the ultimate.
Yeah, the thing I found interesting is that from the E46 to the CSL, it was somewhat with 30 some odd seconds difference between the two.
Yeah, unbelievable, really. Yeah, the M3 E46 did it in 822, and the M3 E46 CSL did it in 750. So 32 seconds difference. It's just mind-boggling.
So even if with the GTS they shave 20 seconds, that might be the fastest.
Yeah, and of course the M3 E92 M3 did do it in 805, which is certainly pretty impressive. But to give you an idea, I mean, BMW is not the fastest out there. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Cadillac CTS-V four-door does the ring in 759. Now, that is Cadillac actually out there doing it themselves, and they claim it was a stock car. And BMW doesn't actually get in there as a manufacturer and put these times down. So could they eke out a few seconds here and there? I don't know. Who knows? But I think at this point, it's clear to say on paper the Cadillac CTS-V is faster around the ring. But these times are certainly respectable. You've got the M5 E60 M5 doing the ring in 8:13. That's a big improvement over the E20. I'm sorry, the E39 M5, which was at 8:28. A lot of these
That's
cars that are so
huge.
revered, we just love them. They're just flat out not that fast compared to the next generation. I mean, the E60 just trounced the E39 by 14 seconds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, the E71, the X6M, did it 4 seconds faster than the E39 M5.
Yeah, 2 seconds slower than
Yeah.
the E46 M3.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really incredible. I mean, this is interesting because we've talked about these big X5 and X6Ms being just incredible vehicles that are truly faster than you can imagine, and here you go. I mean, that not far off the E46 M3, a 2006 M3. So just amazing. The biggest increase, and it just boggled my mind. I shouldn't say the biggest, but one of the biggest was the Mini Cooper S. JCW, the 2005 version going to the new 2008 version, they shaved it 20 seconds off, and that's a standard car. Both of those are standard.
Wow.
So from one generation to the next, 20
And
seconds.
that also shows that an LSD is not really necessary, huh?
Well, that's true. The new JCW has that EDIF, So very, very
Seems to
true.
work okay.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, and I do not believe this, the 135i, that's the E82 for those scoring at home, did it in one, and I'm sorry, in 839, which is kind of slow.
Yeah, that is a little depressing.
Seems unbelievable. I mean, the JCW Mini beat it by 4 seconds. The
Well,
E36 M3 beat it, which is kind of a
I will say, the 135 in base form, like from the dealer, isn't the best car on the track because of its balance. I mean, the thing has so much understeer,
Yeah, that's true.
and on the ring with understeer, it's just not going to be a good time.
That may be true. And of course, the E36 M3 that we're talking about was probably the 320 horsepower version
Oh
from
yeah, the zero
Europe.
spec. Yeah.
So yeah, it certainly certainly was plenty fast. So pretty cool. Obviously, I take it with a grain of salt, but they are fun to look at nonetheless. So let's talk about. I actually want to talk about. Kind of switch gears a little bit. Something that you wrote, Michael, really about how those numbers, all those numbers, don't matter.
Yeah, they're rumored to be disappearing from BMW's mantra. In other words, they're not going to build cars to try to take the ring on and be the fastest on the ring. They really want to get back to driver engagement and feeling attached. And that's what this 1M really started as. It was a project from Dr. Segler to the guys at M, say, what is missing from the modern M car compared to the E30 M3? And figure it out and let's see what we can do. And they said it was steering feel, road feel, nimbleness, balance, things like that. And this 1M is supposed to be the beginning of this new era of feeling engaged with the road, not needing all this power and trying to do 0 to 60 in 4 seconds or do the ring in under 8. That's not the goal. The goal is to feel, I hate to say it, happy, joyful, driving your car, taking a turn on a back road, and just knowing it's going to stick like glue. And just put a grin on your face.
Well, yeah, you can't help but think of the E30 M3. I mean, that was not the fastest car, even at the time
No, it
around.
wasn't. And that wasn't
And
even the goal of it, you know?
the interesting thing is, though, the E30 M3 did not fly off the shelves, so to speak. BMW didn't sell a ton of those, especially in the US. And you can't really call it the commercial success that the E36 M3 was. Or certainly the E46, and I would venture to say the E90, E92, E90. I mean, the BMW as, and I'm talking about the M division, has as the years have gone on, gotten much, much better at selling cars. And yeah, there's some downsides to that. I think it's to the detriment of what you and I and a lot of our listeners really, truly want. But what they have done is they have sold and sold and sold. And created cars that were sort of the Jekyll and Hyde almost. And it sounds to me like BMW, and specifically M, maybe even only M, is going to try to focus on a couple cars. Maybe it's one car every few years that they produce that's really truly meant for enthusiasts. And yeah, they may not make money on it, or they may just break even. But it's really put out there just for us. I mean, you have to think the Z4 M Coupe was maybe the last one.
Right, and that was another sales, not success.
Yeah.
And it's one of the cars that everybody loves, but yet nobody bought. So that's the thing. They have to find the happy medium. Find the car that sells and also keeps everyone happy and can be almost a trickle down
Well,
effect.
and it's interesting because those cars don't need to be expensive. Those Halo cars don't need to be expensive. You think about that Z4M, and I have so wanted one for so long, and I've even thought I could get one. I mean, I'm looking at a car next year. Completely, they're out there, completely available, low mileage examples, and I just can't do it. It's just too small. But I'm so happy that BMW built it. And does it make me want an M product more? I kind of in a way because they built it, and
Right.
that's the attitude that they have. I mean, it's the same company that I could go out and get a 4-door M3, which is a completely sensible vehicle. But they also produce this insane little 2-door monster that's really worth something.
And I agree. And this, the 1M, I think, is going to be this happy medium car almost. Because if you think about it, the E36 M3 wasn't anything all that crazy special. I mean,
Not at all.
the motor wasn't that crazy
And we're talking
special.
about the US version, of course,
US version, yes,
which
obviously.
had really a lightly massaged inline six with 240 horsepower.
Right, and that sold fairly well, if my memory serves me correctly,
Oh,
and
it
people
sold
were.
a hell of a lot better than the E30 M3, I can tell you that.
Right, and the price point was, it was that crazy. It gave you the performance that the people wanted. It gave you everything you wanted. So, this 1M, I think they're going to probably do the same thing. And from reports that I've been hearing now, is, and I think we both have, is that the N54 will be in the 1M as the Valvetronic system still hasn't been mastered. And off-the-shelf parts from the M3 tuned specifically for the 1 series chassis to give you more road feel. And it's going to be a car that's not going to break the wallet, get you into the M lineup, and years down the road, you could step up to an M5.
Very true. Very
Get you
true.
in, get you in,
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it's exciting. I have to admit, I love the Nürburgring times. I think they're just fun to look at and kind of pick apart. But at the same time, what do I want? I want feel. I have a Mini right now, a Mini Cooper S, as a loaner. I'm about to actually leave for Mini Takes the States, and I've been driving it. And it is a $23,000 Mini Cooper S, bone stock, not a single option on it. I love it. I absolutely love it. And why do I love it? It's the nimbleness, it's the feel, it's the fact that I don't have to go 90 miles an hour to have fun. And you think about, and I've got another car in my garage, it's like that, the E28 535iS. Not an M product, but still there's an element of joy that you get by just driving down the street in a car like that. And sure, the M3 gives you a little bit of that, but it's threshold is so high. I really love the idea of returning to something that's a little bit more intimate in a way, and something with a little bit more
Manageable.
feel. Yeah.
It's manageable. That's the thing. I think a lot of these cars are over-engineered for the US roads. I mean, all these M products, you're never even going to get half of what you need to get out of them to hit the 9/10 mark. I mean, we drive around and I drive around in my car all the time and I maybe get halfway to where, the car's even being pushed.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I'm a detriment to my car because my car obviously loves to be driven hard, and I really can't drive it hard unless I go to the track on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the 1M is going to be fantastic. There's a recent video that BMW just put up on their YouTube page, actually. I should say the M division, of course. And the one thing that is a little, at this stage at least, disappointing is the sound. I don't really hear a lot yet. I've been told that, still working on it, will get better, but still, you can't help but think. I mean, just thinking about the X5M, the X6M, the first turbocharged M cars, they're not known for their sound. I mean, sure, they have some interesting noises, but it's not like that E92 M3 or the E46 M3 for that matter, which I think
Right.
is one of the best sounding cars of all time.
Yeah, I would agree. And of course, the 1M is rumored to be shown off at the Poser Oktoberfest.
The not real Oktoberfest, the one that happens somewhere in the United States. What
Yes,
do you think
Poser
of
Fest.
what do you th I've never been. And I like the BMW CCA, I think. Well,
No, I just don't like the
yeah.
name. I think anything on Oktoberfest needs to have good quality German product in the
Well,
form of beer and lederhosen and dirndls.
well, I mean, we could fix that. We could try to make that happen. Well, regardless of the name, what do you think of the rumor?
I think it's an interesting rumor, and it's. I have a feeling that something from M will definitely show up. Obviously, whether it's the 1M or the M5 is up for debate. The M5, I feel, is a little bit further along in production, in design rather. But also, from a marketing standpoint, I have a feeling they're not really going to market the 1M. They're not going to be TV ads, things going like that. So if they were to ship one over and feature it at a BMW enthusiast gathering, it probably pretty decent bang for the buck as far as advertising. goes, and we all know how much, M and marketing go hand in hand.
Well,
Rumors they go hand in hand.
it should be a good time nonetheless. So,
Yeah, I think it's in Wisconsin this year, if my memory serves me correctly. Road America.
Sadly, I have no idea, and of course, that's not very far from me. So, I need to get on the ball.
Yeah, I think so, Gabe, because that's like halfway around the country for me, and I'm not making the trip. And
And you could
actually,
like.
this would be the first year in a long time that I actually could make this BMW version of Oktoberfest, because I'm usually at the German version of Oktoberfest.
Well, maybe I'll make it up. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, I think.
TBD. So let's talk a little about, I mean, since we're talking about the M3, Car Magazine had a chance to drive all the M3s back to back, and it's a great read. I mean, I don't know if there's much to say that we haven't already said, but it's a great read talking about the different cars and stepping into one and out of the other. And I mean, clearly the E30 is loved. Everybody loves that car. One of the things that I certainly took away, and I think a lot of other people have said it recently, is how good the E46 really was, and how, I mean, how cheap they are now to buy.
They're cheap.
It's incredible, really. And I've thought many times. I mean, I've been very close to getting a competition package E46 a couple times this past year. It's interesting, but the I think the money quote is really that, let's see, it's actually Car Magazine's Ben Barry, who is one of my favorite authors in that magazine. He talks about the E46 feeling like the greatest hits package of the M3, really combining E30 feel with the E36 dynamics. And maybe not, but it is such a great car. And I think after the E90 goes away, it's going to be interesting to see which one of those two cars is more revered. I have to think it may be the E46.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think from motor sound perspective, it's hard to beat the E90,
True, true.
E92. But as a whole package, E46 is obviously a great product. The thing I find interesting is if you go from car to car to car, it's just that the level of opulence and how it increases every go around. You start
Yeah.
with E30, and it wasn't anything special for what it was as far as luxury items, and then you step up to the E36, you get a couple more standard M features here and there. And then the E46, I mean, you have the Alcantara with the competition package and all these other fancy features you get, and then the E92 and E90. I mean, it's almost, I don't know if you heard that, but that's an Audi driving up my street, but guy's crazy. Shouldn't be doing that on back roads like that. But how it steps up in level of opulence, and is that really what enthusiasts want? I don't think so. But like I said, I think that's what the market dictates.
And that's really getting back to BMW, the M division, selling cars and doing a great job. Expanding their range and obviously being successful financially. And of course, not a bad thing to, in doing so, they're able to create cars like the 1M.
Now, I have
That's
a silly
awesome.
question, Gabe. What kind of seat would you think that could translate from, say, a 1 Series M product to a 3 Series M product to a 5 Series M product, 6 Series M, and so on and so forth? Do you think they could ever build a singular seat to fit all of these M cars to achieve enough scale that they could actually crash test them in the US?
Are you talking about like a Recaro?
I'm not necessarily naming a brand, but
Are you talking about something
hypothetically.
more aggressive than is currently offered?
Yeah, could you see that ever coming to fruition, or would that be something you think people would be interested
I think
in?
it would, as long as the price is kept relatively low, either as a standalone option or as part of a package.
Yeah, I think they could do that. Just an idea.
Yeah, well, I do think that having some form of, oh, Recaro type of seat. In fact, I happened upon a Cayman S recently. Looked like a ran, you know, a standard Cayman S. Had the 19-inch wheels. It was well spec'd, but nothing insane. And I got a little closer. What caught my eye were those racing spec seats that Porsche has, and that's exactly what they do. They offer the same seat across the entire 911 Cayman line. And it's an expensive option. It's like over $3,000, but they offer it, you know, on all their cars essentially.
Yeah, so they're able to offer the same seat in a variety of models and, you know, make it worth their wild and enthusiast wild. Just, I don't know. This is something I came up with. I don't know. Maybe we should form a petition or something.
Not a bad idea. Well, I think we should definitely put a poll up. I can say that.
I'm feeling a poll.
Yeah, without question. So let's move up the page and we can talk a little bit about, I mean, first off, BMW NA sales were up 16% for July. Always fun to talk about these things because the numbers are always fascinating. What was the biggest, have you seen these numbers yet, Michael?
I'm just, no, I haven't
No,
actually stared
don't
at
look
them.
at them yet. I want to ask
I
you a
won't. I
question.
won't. I have a feeling it's something stupid and people are not intelligent. That's all I'm going to go with. Is it the X3 again? Because
No.
people are
But
dumb.
the X3 was up. The X3 was up almost
No, it's
20%.
it can't be. It really
Almost
seriously.
20%. But here's what I want. Here's what I
It's
want to
going to
go
be
over.
okay. Would it be the outgoing 5 series?
What was
No,
the
it's got to be the
biggest
6 series.
increase? The
6
biggest
series.
increase of all BMWs for July year over year.
People are stupid. It's got to be the 6 series.
The 6 Series was up almost 300%.
Unbelievable.
300%. They sold 252 in 09, July of 09. In July of 2010, almost 1,000.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Now,
The
this
6
does not,
Series.
if this doesn't prove the point that people have no, like the masses have no clue of like anything, this is prime example. The 6 series is dead, folks.
And you know what?
And it's
Honestly,
crap.
it's not a good car. I'm just gonna say it. It's not a good car.
No, it's I'm gonna
It
cry,
unless
actually.
unless it's outfitted with the right wheels and color, it's not an attractive car either.
And you have to make sure you're wearing your chrome aviator sunglasses with your shirt off with the top down. Otherwise, you shouldn't be driving a 6 series.
Well, the 6 Series, which of course is very long in the tooth, outsold the relatively new 7 Series last month.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Outsold the X3, outsold the X6.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, was within 400 units of outselling the 1 Series.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm not looking at these numbers. So tell me off canter, is the X3 up year over year also? The X3.
The
Which mind
X3
you.
year to date is up 16.6%.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Now, it will make you feel better knowing that the 6 Series is down year over year almost 17%.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. There is some sanity there. The Z4 is way down. I mean, 62% down from last year. So it's always interesting to look at these numbers. They fluctuate sometimes wildly, and of course, there's lots of different reasons for it, but nonetheless, it always makes a good conversation.
Yeah, it gets me really agitated. I'm bothered by people sometimes that just don't have a. I mean, seriously, there's all these reviews. I mean, you can type in X3 into the internet, pop up with our site, pop up with a bazillion other sites that there's a new one coming. So let's go buy the old one or the 6 series. Let's go buy the 6 series that's absolutely not good at anything except for being a 6 series. I'm sorry to be so mean to the 6 series. It's like my, you know, it's like I treat it like
It's
a
your
redheaded
arch
stepchild.
nemesis.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just one of those things. If I have a gripe with BMW, it's the 6 series. And actually, there was that article, I can't recall the site, but the shark versus the whale, and it was hysterical. I was laughing reading the whole thing. It was talking about the old original 6 series and how it was great and looked stylish and sporty, and this current one, which is leaving, it was just a beached whale. It was great. Couldn't agree more.
Well, so those are the numbers for July. Interestingly, the M Division is launching, I think officially launching, what they're calling the M Performance range. So we've already seen some parts. We've got the competition wheels for the M3. We've got the lip spoiler and the front air flaps, as they call them. But they're also going to be releasing a.
Break that cooling kit.
Are they?
No.
No, that's not in here. They're releasing the they're releasing a titanium tipped.
Acrypovic
I think
exhaust.
it's yeah, it's an exhaust. It's a chromium nickel material that it's made from,
The
but
only thing we want, Gabe, is a
yeah,
brake duct cooling kit.
40% lighter exhaust. That can't be that bad. I'm blown away the size of the air ducts in the M3, and you can't slit a little piece of plastic out and get some duct in there. for the brakes. It blows my mind. I mean, the Mini, it in my driveway has brake ducts.
Yeah, well, there's these Venturis, air quotes, and there's some negative pull from the shape of the rims on the M3 to cool the brakes. You hear the excitement in my voice. I want brake duct cooling kit. And I'm sure there's going to be 100 people that respond that they also want a brake duct cooling kit. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. You don't always get what you want.
No.
And I'm quoting Mick Jagger.
Exactly. And the just for the record, my E61 wagon, 5 series, brake duct cooling.
Oh, and my E46 wagon, brake duct cooling.
Huh. M3, none. Yeah.
All right, so moving on. You know, I don't think we have a whole lot more to really cover outside of what we've already covered. But, you know, obviously we talked about a lot of news coming up. The Paris show is going to be really, really interesting. There's rumors of, and there continue to be rumors of, the 1 Series front-wheel drive model. It will be different, marketed perhaps differently than the rear-wheel drive model 1 Series, which is going to be coming out in about a year and a half, 2 years' time. But needless to say, a front-wheel drive BMW is coming. It will be based on the Mini, and it may be named the 1001.
Really? See, that's interesting. I thought it was just going to be a 1 Series, and if it was in hatchback form, it's front-wheel drive, and if it's in coupe form, it's rear-wheel drive.
Not true. The hatchback rear-wheel drive model will be sold as a three-door and a five-door, three-door and a five-door, and they will be available with only 4-cylinder engines, but there will be rear-wheel drive. The coupe will be available with a comparable 135i engine, so 300 plus horsepower for the next generation.
Huh. That is the rumor. Such a trying time here with all these motors and chassis and amazing.
And all these wheels being driven on the wrong end.
Yeah, well, and going with the BMW city car, the Isetta, that's an interesting thing as well. You know, that's going to have an interesting play in this whole game, because they could basically, using that ladder frame, bolt on a Cooper sedan or hatch or whatever they want.
Yeah, I think they're going to go slow, but we may ultimately see that.
It's really, really an interesting time.
Yeah, completely. Well, on that note, I think that's all we've got. So obviously we will be back in about a week's time. I'm going to be taking off a week and driving cross country with Mini Takes the States and enjoying my bone stock Cooper S with, it has air conditioning and cruise control. So I do have those two things.
Oh, awesome.
And, I'm really looking forward to it. I do love driving Minis.
They're Wait, is it, can I just ask a silly question?
Yeah.
Is it the new version with the newer and improved? No,
it's the old version. Yeah,
that's depressing.
I cannot say it's depressing or upsetting anyway, but you can hear it in my voice. Anyway, it's going to be fun regardless. Somebody else's car, I'm going to enjoy driving it. Get to see the country and, of course, a lot of Mini others, which I think generally, by and large, is a good thing. So with that said, we will see you in probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks' time. Until then, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, prost.